everything. You can do, you can have a whole city council at any time. But it's gotta be a.
We're only a buck a piece today.
And that is also correct, but if you are having. Discussion, it is. It is. I'm good, how are you?
How are you?
So that's.
Guys ready? Good evening, everyone. It's November 24th, 2025. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's regular city council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation? We're asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city councilors makes their decisions tonight. And now, if you'd all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, welcome everyone. I'd like to open the public input portion of our council meeting tonight. Is there anyone present who'd like to address the city council? Let's start with Mark Spohr.
Mark Spohr, 420 North 9th. The pool, the HVAC at City Hall, new animal shelter, dispatch operations, fire department, annexations, new police chief, new fire chief. We have plenty of challenges for the city in the coming year. As such, it is appropriate that the four new elected officials coming on board have input as to the selection for the vacant council position. As Kelly Camp and Ken Johnson have already addressed the council regarding this matter, I also ask that the empty council position not be filled till my three other colleagues and myself have been seated. There has been some internet chatter insinuating that the new team is not capable of appointing a competent in person. This is insulting. Please be respectful of our upcoming challenges, hold off until the new year, and include us in the filling of the council position.
Dick Mendez.
Hey everyone, I'm Jake Mendez Jr., civil rights activist, an ACLU of Washington member, and an NAACP member as well. I would like to address the city council and Othello police chief assistant. I was expecting police chief, but he's not present. That's fine. The first thing I wanted to address is just any confirmation with Othello police chief assistant Garza. Is it true that any of your officers are not able to rescue any injured dogs or cats that's publicly visible within city limits?
During this portion, Jake, we don't answer questions. We just take input. So your first question is does this police department... do dog pickup?
Go against your city codes, is what I'm asking.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. What did you say?
Does it go against your city codes when it comes to officers? When they get a call out, say, hey, somebody's calling the Othello Police Department, there's an injured dog or a cat. Is there any OMC attached to that where they don't pick up animals?
We'll answer your question in writing. We'll answer your question in writing.
Second of all, To the police chief assistant, it just seems like what Sergeant Mendoza had conveyed to me, just based off memory verbatim, that they do not. And it seems like it's just immoral for anyone in the public to see an injured dog or a cat and have contacted the Othello Police Department. While I was there, volunteering for the Adams County Pararescue, that day is when a woman had stated that she had called the Othello Police Department a few times, and they refused to pick up a cat that was injured on 14th and Main on the long side of the canal fence. Now, I happened to pick up this injured cat myself, along with another volunteer there at the Adams County Pararescue. And it seems like it's just very disappointing that the community is reaching out to the Othello Police Department. And I understand from what Sergeant Mendoza had conveyed to me that I understand you guys have other issues. You guys have emergencies, you know, high priority issues that doesn't set any animal standards of priority to them being rescued or picked up or anything. Or for instance, code enforcement at that time at the moment. And I just want to say that it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing to see an injured dog or a cat. Anyone who could have been anyone's owner, a care dog, a seeing eye dog, a dog for those that have served the country that need of assistance. And you can't reach that within assistance within city limits. So then I ask, where's Hands and Paws at? Where's Heather of code enforcement at that moment? I want the children, veterans, those who own dogs and cats to look at the fellow police chief assistant and just reflect that the fact that they felt helpless when they try to reach any dog or cat that's injured within city limits. It's a damn shame and very disappointing. That's all I want to address on that issue.
I don't know if it's just me, but I'm having a hard time understanding you. Extremely. I don't know if you can step up to a mic a little bit more.
It's not just you.
It's not, I don't know what it is, but it's...
No, you're fine. Is this clear enough?
You know what would make it better is if take the tip of the microphone and move it down about 3 inches. Yeah, there.
There?
Yeah, right there.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, now yeah, I can more hear sure. you. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I think it's just... No. The way that direct, it's a multi-directional mic.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, I want to say is that to you, Mayor Logan, for me, I know that we can't come any a point of any apology from you at your attempt of violating my First Amendment constitutional rights at a religious event that took place here at City Hall. You weren't at the capacity of you being at your duty, but you were as a citizen. If you asserting your authority as a position as mayor to violate my constitutional rights. Whether if you want to apologize or not, now would be the time to do so. But that's totally up to you and how the rest of the city and the history of this video to look back on you, whether if you want to or not. But lastly, I just want to say this. I just want to thank you for serving the city of Othello as a mayor for many years. No hard feelings. I got nothing against you. That's all I got to say. And that you know, as a Satanist, I got nothing, no religious platitudes to say towards you. The fact that, you know, you ended the contract with Adams County Prayer Rescue, Fire District 5.
I will say this. I will apologize. We exchanged words.
Okay.
And then after we exchanged words, I went and sat down and you continued to film. And so, I was wrong.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I fully respect that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to comment or provide public input tonight? Okay, let's move on to item 1E, roll call. And for the record, all council members are present. Next, I'd like to move to our approval of tonight's agenda.
I make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move to item 3, our consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to our current business, and the first item A is appointment of Interim Chief of Police Aaron Garza. Before we do that, though, I'd like to congratulate Othello Chief of Police Dave Rim on his retirement effective November 30th. Chief Rim did not want a public farewell or goodbye, so he'll not be present tonight. But I do want to read the words on this plaque that was presented to him in his office today. In honor of your meritorious service to the Othello Police Department and dedication to live by Ride for Your Brand, with heartfelt gratitude and appreciation for your faithful service above and beyond the call of duty and for your unwavering commitment to protect and serve the people of Othello. Dave began his commission as a police officer on March 28, 1989. He was promoted to sergeant on July 1, 2007. Later, he was promoted to the assistant chief role August 26, 2014. And then was promoted to the city's chief of police July 1st, 2023. We want to congratulate you, Dave Rim, chief of police, for a job well done. May your retirement years serve you well. Now, Aaron Garza, upon the retirement of Chief Dave Rim, I'm appointing you as the Interim Chief of Police of the City of Othello, and that appointment will take effect on December 1st.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I just wanted to say thank you to the Mayor and Council for giving me this opportunity. It's an honor and my pleasure to serve in this capacity moving forward. And I have nothing but excitement and gratitude for this, and I look forward to the new appointed police chief sometime in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Let's move on in the agenda. We'll go to item B, which is the LTAC funds discussion. And tonight, Spencer, you're going to lead that discussion.
Trying to close my screen down here. So our very first item on the agenda tonight is the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. This is an item that we discussed in council a few weeks ago, or about maybe a month ago. We met with the LTAC. They made a recommendation to council that was presented to council. And then at our last meeting, a concern was brought before the city council in a request to take a new look at the allocation of those dollars. I brought all that information back to the LTAC. They took another look at those allocations. They considered some different allocations, and in short, they decided for various reasons to keep the allocation as is. And so that the current allocation that was presented before is the same recommendation that they're making tonight. If you have any questions, I can take those, but I don't have anything further on that one.
Council. Okay, let's move to our budget discussion. Number two, Sir Spencer. is going to lead us through that finalizing of our 2026 budget.
So I'm going to share my screen again here. Sure. This is our meeting two of two, where we've been looking at all of our red zone items. This is the same worksheet that we worked through last time. We discussed everything on this list. We greenlit most of the items on this list. We have four items here in yellow. One, two, three, and four. These are our final four items that you want a little more information on. There was some more information posted on Board Docs. Hopefully you had a chance to take a look through some of those things. And the goal tonight is to either say yes or no to these items. And we can take these in any order that you would prefer. If there are some low-hanging fruit items, maybe we can start with those. If not, I'll just start at the top of the list. The first item up here, Tagaris Parking Gravel, and this is along Cunningham. And
I forgot to include that in our memo. So we did receive just a high-level quote on doing curbing. We requested a quote for 1,000 feet of curb, which puts a curb along Cunningham and along the gravel-grass interface so that we have a barrier curb so people don't drive across. So just the curbing alone is $70,000. It's roughly 600 tons of base course and 600 tons of top course, which is $24,000. And then 58 curb stops is roughly $2,500. So overall, it would be almost $100,000. So our request is to leave it at $80,000, as that was the funds that was just already set aside for Tagaris parking. And we just want to go and see how much of this parking we can get done with the $80,000.
So if $80,000 won't do the job, why would you want to leave it at $80,000?
Those funds were transferred from somewhere else. We had already expected to expend those funds. So that was my original plan, is we were just going to use $80,000, see how much parking we could get with that. So if you want to increase that to $100,000, then...
My opinion is if you're going to start the job, finish it. If we could add that extra 20 in and then see what that looks like at the end, that would be my vote. I don't want to get a job three quarters of the way done. And
mm-hmm. You mean up that to 100 grand?
There's no sense in starting it. And what's that?
Up that to 100 grand?
Yeah.
For the...
Overdraw the.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Add it in there and we can see what it looks like at the end.
Yeah, going down.
Just for reference, the east parking lot that's off of Taylor, it was half the size. We expanded that last year. So it makes sense to put in parking from the existing west edge parking and you go in half the distance instead of the full distance. And then we could come back in a year and say we do the rest of it.
So you said bumper stops as well?
Curb stops.
Curb yeah. stops, though.
So the way we designed it is you have a row of parking against the trees along mm-hmm. Cunningham, and then a center row of parking as well.
Yeah.
So you'd have three lanes of parking, lane, yeah. basically. So, yeah.
So the, wouldn't, but in that wouldn't middle, the curb serve as a bumper?
We are only doing curbing around the edge. We wouldn't do curb in the middle. We'd just do it around the edge, and then we'd do curb stops in the center.
Oh, the center. Got it.
I think that's a pretty important project.
But the
there.
Curb stops for gravel on gravel, is that going to work?
Yep.
You just have to put deeper stakes or what?
Yeah, but then it keeps it so that you know how to line up your cars instead of yeah. it being absolute chaos in that parking lot.
If we ran that up to 100,000 from 80, this is one option. We had another 16,500 down here still remaining in that fund. We could spend the remaining of those dollars, move it up to 96, and then over in the street fund, the other 3.5 over there. And together, that's 100,000. And they're both funds are fine down here.
I like that idea.
Yep,
yeah. That's fine.
It's important. It's a clusterized mess down there during, It's flat out dangerous.
They need the parking.
So I increased those and I greenlit.
We need more parking.
That park's looking great right now and I want to keep it looking great, so, yeah.
So I greenlit that one. The next item here, forklift slash telehandler for 67.
That was 77.
67.
67 is what was in there.
Yeah, 67 is for the forklift telehandler. And if you want to see pictures of it in use, we've used it quite a bit this week. And this morning, we used it in a way that I did not expect to. And then we were discussing what other piece of equipment would work as well. And there really just wasn't one that would work as well. We had to pull a tank out of the Vactor. It had a steam. So if you go down to the bottom and look at the Vactor one, a steam head exploded basically. And so it was leaking all the water out of the center. There should be one more of the Vactor where we started. Yeah, so this is where we started. And so it was welded and repaired and we needed to put it back in. And having a regular forklift, it only goes up and down. We wouldn't be able to do it with that. With a crane on the water truck, the Vactor, the way it's extended, it would be in the way. We could have done it possibly with an excavator, but this, he moved it in, set it down. It needed to go towards the cab 2 inches and those forks hydraulically move. And so it could just shift it that 2 inches and it was, and we were done. He didn't have to move the telehandler or the forklift at all. So we got an additional quote from Schulten's. We are renting that piece of equipment currently. So with the rental for November and December, the total cost would then be $58,900. So it would actually be less than the quote that I gave you. But I also gave you additional quotes and a flyer for used heisters. So the used heisters, we end up with the same issue we have with ours. The number of hours on it is when you start having issues. So you get what you pay for.
So that JCB, that tally,
mm-hmm.
So that's the rental's included into the price already. So you got a discount pretty much. Mm-hmm. They included the rent into.
Correct.
Okay.
So this is just a couple pictures of them working on this, putting up the stars and the banners and the ability to get in there where you're not having to deal with traffic. There are a couple of them. I think the top one shows him going over, that one. It's going over a sign because it just makes it very convenient, so.
That's a small one, but I think that'll do the job for you, right?
Does a great job for us.
Okay.
Yeah, and loading the salt truck, we could use the loader, but it gets really big in that bay. So this loaded it really easy and being able to extend that out, it makes it much more efficient than trying to use the forklift.
It's a good piece of equipment. No question.
It's a great piece of equipment.
No question about it. It's just that what's the usage going to be on it? The other thing, too, is I seen them roading it. They were up at the park with it, and they drove it up to the park from down below. And those things don't have any suspension in them whatsoever. So any bump that he hits on the road just going across 7th, He banged really hard, really hard.
Didn't we get a trailer for moving equipment?
It's a forklift, you know, and it just.
We do, but to then connect a trailer, we've always just run the heister up and down the road. Same thing with the Genie; you just run them up and down the road. So, efficiency versus
but
tear.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand new piece of equipment. You don't want to tear it up either.
Right.
So maybe you suggest to the people that are driving it or are responsible for driving it that they don't cross the road at 30 miles an hour and literally bounce it off the road. Because that's what was happening. It was jumping up in the air.
So the forklift telehandler would be 58,000 as opposed to 67,000 in our budget, correct?
Correct.
50. So I can green this right here, and I'll change that to 58 and, because it'll affect the allocation.
And I, and that's with taxes, yeah. 58.9. So it's actually 59,000. Is that what you put down?
Okay. I'll do that. And I will. So I'll green it on here.
Do it right now in your head.
But I'll change it to the 59. The next item here, flatbed 1.5 ton.
I am adamantly opposed to buying a new flatbed truck. That flatbed truck that they have now, there's nothing wrong with it, nothing. But they want to tear that flatbed down, turn it into a salt truck, buy a new flatbed, buy new equipment for that flatbed, which makes zero sense, zero. Why would you take and tear down a perfectly good piece of equipment to spend another 120 plus on that piece of equipment?
So last year we talked about our fleets and that after they're 10 years old, that we need to be working through them. So this is a truck that's over 10 years old. The salt truck needs replaced. And it doesn't make any sense to buy a brand new truck to put as a salt truck that's being used for 3, maybe 5 months out of the year, that is running salt, that is not gonna last as long. So the issue is the salt truck. It makes absolute sense to move this one. Some of the equipment that we're including in this is bigger. We have a couple of developments that are coming online, and their only proposal is to have a lift station. In order to have a lift station, there is much more O&M, and you're going to need another another crane. So this includes a heavy enough body to be able to have a 2,000-pound crane instead of the 500 or 600-pound crane that's on the existing flatbed. And this is new equipment on here, but it's
hold on,
also-
Robin. Let me get back real quick. So the old truck, you want to put the salt bins on it? So if we're doing that, Corey, that's a good idea. You don't want to put a salt.
And I'll explain to you why. We're going to spend $120,000 plus, because that $120,000.
Well, that's with all the attachments.
No, that's not going to be the end, because they're going to buy tools, and they're going to buy a welder. They're going to buy all this other stuff for it. Now then,
well, you have a lot of that in the shop. You can.
If you want to buy, you want to replace trucks after 10 years old, you've got trucks from the 80s that aren't being replaced, but you're going to replace this one. Okay, as far as the crane goes, you've got a brand new crane on that new water truck that you bought last year. It makes zero sense to take a perfectly good truck and tear that thing down. You know, if you want a new truck, go down, like I said last week, Corwin Ford's has got a one-ton dually down there for $49,000.
I cannot. In order for us to purchase vehicles, I either have to go through Sourcewell or I have to get quotes from-
Then put it out for quote.
You're not gonna get it. With the things I need.
For that kind of money, not if they go through that.
Absolutely. Quote. You put it out for quote, or you look for a cabin chassis on the source quote. Why would you spend $120,000 to buy a new truck? It doesn't make any sense. You're going to buy a new snowplow. You're going to buy all that. And then what's going to happen to the old snowplow? Is it going to get sold for surplus, or is it going to get scrapped, or is it just going to sit in the shop?
Or if it fits another truck, then we'll replace it and put it on.
You told us last week that equipment wasn't interchangeable.
Some of them are interchangeable, some of them are not. So that's the thing, is this truck, it's not going to work with any of the plows that we have existing.
Robin, is that snow plow on this old truck? Is that for this old truck, the snow plow?
There is a.
Okay, so if you can use it on that truck and have the salt bins on it.
Yes.
I mean, it's good. I mean, you're getting everything you need.
There is no way I am voting to spend 120 grand on a new truck.
Well, I see it. We still have some money left. And I'm always for gearing up. You know, we are growing as a town, and we do need equipment.
So that money is burning the hole in people's pocket. Just because the money's there doesn't mean you have to spend it.
But you have to understand, we are growing as a city, and the needs are there, Corey. You know, this is what I do for a living, and if I need a piece of equipment, I buy it because I need it.
That's your money. You're not spending public money on that. You're spending public money.
But if we're using that to better the public.
This is a waste of public money. You know, it was up until about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, when any department in this city came to city council during budget for a piece of equipment, that equipment was needed. The last 5 or 6 years, it's gotten to the point where, ooh, nice new shiny truck. Let's get a nice new shiny truck because the money's there. No, just because the money's there doesn't mean we
all
have
right,
to spend
Corey.
It.
Well, let's get back to whether we're going to buy it or not.
Well, I was going to say, I think that the salt truck is rusted out, there's a need there, and you're just shifting equipment around so that you're not putting a brand new truck on the salt truck, mm-hmm. because you don't want to put salt on a brand new truck.
So let's spend $120,000 for that salt truck compared to spending $49,000 for a salt truck.
Yeah, but you're also going to get, like she said, you're going to have lift stations. You're going to need
They have a crane for that.
Lift stations are a little different, and
it's
you're
same,
going
it's,
to need equipment
to
deal with
that's
those.
On the water truck.
Corey, I think your position's pretty well established. Let's hear from Daryl.
Questions? So the existing salt truck, which is a decade old, I'm sure it has some rust and needs significant rehabilitation if we were to continue to use it. Is it cost effective to A, rehabilitate the existing salt truck, or B, decommission it, take the existing salt truck resources, put them on another bed that we already own?
That's exactly what we're trying to do.
That's what they're trying to do with that, salt equipment. They want to put it on this flatbed.
Understand.
On and the then buy a new one with a utility
Understand.
Bed on it. So they're thinking right as far as not putting a salt, even on a $50,000 truck, you put a salt box, it'll be gone in 4 or 5 years.
So to rehabilitate
the existing salt truck. No, I understand
Hold on.
That.
So to rehabilitate the existing salt truck is cost prohibitive, correct?
It is.
Okay.
It's older than that.
I understand.
Mark, do you have any questions or on it? Opinions?
I don't know. I see Angel's side and I see his side also. And it's a lot of money to do it, but
it's a lot of money. Over how many years? 10, 15 years we're gonna have that vehicle in use?
A utility truck, you have to get more out of that.
So say 15 years. Mm-hmm. We'll spend $120,000 plus, probably another $80,000 in maintenance costs over that. Lowball estimate. So let's say $200,000 over 15 to 18 years of service. If you look at the long game, it's not too terribly bad. And the city is growing, and we will continue to need public work resources.
So explain to me what the gooseneck is that's costing $44,000 in addition to the $77,000 for the truck.
My streets lead is here and I can let him explain the quote.
Good evening. Not sure how I address myself. Derek Altona, Streets Lead.
The Street Lead,
Public
yeah.
Works. basically, what you're looking at is it's a flatbed. It's a gooseneck-style flatbed. Deleted the gooseneck with built-in boxes. So you're not going to have top-mount boxes that eventually end up leaking that we have to replace. This has a heavier payload for hauling our equipment, pulling our trailers. It again has a higher lifting capacity crane put on it. As Robin stated, the one that we have now is a $500 pound crane that we purchased. I think it was an Amazon crane. It's because we needed one and we put it on there. This will help in the future with the lift stations and loading and unloading on that flatbed. It also...
So it will come with a crane?
With a crane, with a snowplow.
What's the rating on the crane you're buying to put on the truck?
It's a 2,000-pound crane.
Okay, how far long is it?
I would have to double-check the specs on that, John.
Those are mainly, John, to pick stuff up the ground and put it on the bed. They're not for reach or nothing. That's just,
yeah, but I asked
if you're at a place while at a heister, yeah, it just puts the stuff into bed and takes it out of your
sure.
bed.
I understand what you're saying, but I asked Robin to give us that information last week or last meeting for this meeting. So is it going to be a knuckle boom or is it going to be a straight crane?
It is a straight crane. It does extend. It's a pedestal mount on the back corner. If memory serves, I want to believe it extends to 10 foot.
Good.
7 to 10 foot.
And you got to set up for hauling trailers so you could put your trip trailer on it, load a piece of equipment on with
the
trip trailer, put the valves and everything else on the back of the flatbed.
Clear the pellet off.
That's what's on the...
I mean, it's a really dynamic piece of equipment to have.
Right here. This one, yeah.
And everything's included. It comes with the snow plow.
This one has the extension.
But
and then you can lock it.
We've purchased a lot of equipment for public works in the past 12 years that I've been on council, knowing that we needed to grow the department. We did a lot of work with regard to establishing accountability in each of the different tasks that the public works have to deal with: water, streets, park, all those. We divided them up. We got leaders in those different departments. So we developed accountability. But the one thing that I've been seeing and that frustrates me is the amount of time and use of the equipment that we've purchased over this period of time. And I understand that when you have something that you need to do, that's when you use that equipment. And if there's a 6-month period where you don't have to do that task, that job, you're not going to use that equipment. But for me, sitting here on council, do I spend the citizens' money to have that piece of equipment sitting in our yard versus renting it when we need it because we're going to plan to do something, you know? So it's like, do you own it and have it as an asset and write it off, or do you just go get it when you need it and do the task?
Sorry, are we still talking about the truck or equipment?
All of it.
Okay.
We've been very generous to Public Works for 12 years. And again, in this, I didn't bring my sheet of paper, but I mean, the police department had asked for $350,000 in their red zone items, and you guys far exceeded that. And last year, you far exceeded anybody else for what we allotted to you in red zone items. So at some point in time, we either got to be fully equipped to do whatever needs to be done, or we strategize on how we deal with situations when they come up.
What do you have for utility truck right now, or utility trucks?
We have two flatbeds that are 2010 and a 2011. And we have the water truck that was purchased a couple years ago.
And the salt truck that we're trying to get rid of, it's a 1990 Chevy.
Right, so this is for dual use. I mean, this is the, we're getting rid of...
No question, it's a great piece of equipment. No question about it. It can haul the equipment from behind on the trip trailer. It can, you know, the boom will serve as a catalyst for doing jobs and everything else. But again, it's whether or not you want to buy that piece of equipment and park it in the yard and then use it two or three times in a 6-month period? Or do you, when you have a task to do and you've planned to do the task, go out and rent the equipment that you need to do the task and be done with it?
Well, that what you're saying there,
I mean, you're talking,
you can kind of move that to the tally more than here, because right here you're going to have the utility truck. You're gonna have the bed. You're gonna with the hoist on it, with the lift, right? So that's gonna be used like 12 months out of the year. The tally, the Heister, will not be used every day, right? Now you go back to your salt truck. Well, you know, around here, you never know what the season's gonna do. You might have a massive winter. You might have a light winter, but you're gonna use that no matter what, 4 or 5 months. 3 or 4 months out of the year here.
Yep.
So what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and I'm with you, Corey. There's a lot of, you sometimes would buy equipment and it sits, right? But what I see here, if you really want to fight that, I mean, I'd go more in the telly side of it and the forklift side of it than on this side of it, because utility truck will be used, definitely be used with the hoist, with that lift, and the salt truck will be used all winter for sure. That's my opinion. I mean, I don't want to knock the other ones off the, I mean, we already put them in, but I don't know. I'd like to be well equipped for the city. I know it's city's money. You know, at the same time, you guys make sense too. If you need it, you said, if you need it, go rent it, right? We're going to spend $15,000-$20,000 of rent or $5,000 of rent a year. That adds up in the long run. Now, if we don't buy this now, 2-3 years from now, look at what the prices are doing right now. We might pay 150, 180 for it.
So the years go by, and I've heard how many times from these people from the public works, that truck's 10 years old, but it might only have 10,000 miles on it.
Okay, that's an exaggeration.
It's 10 years old.
Okay, I think, well, you guys are all entrenched in your positions. Let's just, let's have a hand vote. Who wants to include this in the budget? Unless Derek, do you want to have the last word?
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
The council then will get the last word. Who wants to include this in the 2026 budget? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. That settles it. Let's now move to the service body truck.
That's the last item, the service body truck for $90,000.
I'm not questioning. Not at all.
Okay. Yep, it's up to you guys to vote. If you have any questions, then.
Is this question, this purchase, this service body truck, is it replacing a vehicle currently in use, or are we expanding the fleet with it?
No, it's replacing. We plan to surplus an additional truck.
So it's on it's a normal rotation.
Normal rotation.
Is it actually the one you're replacing? What truck are you replacing?
108, 208, something like that.
Is that truck actually worn out?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good on that one.
So I'll green that one. Let me go up here, I'll green that one. So that's the last of our items here. I'll make note of that. That's it for this section, Mayor. We can move to the public hearing piece.
Okay. Next item on our agenda, item D, is the first public hearing on the 2026 budget. I'll open that public hearing at 6:44 p.m. and ask for a staff presentation from from our city finance officer, Spencer Williams. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, thank you. Really, my presentation is pretty short and sweet. We've spent the last few months going through our budget for the 2026 year. It's involved a lot of people, and we've culminated in our meetings over our discussions in this meeting and our previous meeting, and we've put together a budget that conservatively looks at revenues and looks at expenses. We're looking at the current operational needs of the city and the future capital and projects, those needs of the city, and that is the budget that we've built for 2026.
Okay. I'll open for public testimonies. Anyone member of the public who'd like to comment on the 2026 budget?
Mark Sparks.
I apologize. I've been a little remiss not following the exact details of the budget, but I just want to confirm remind that we still have a contract with Fire District Number 5 to provide service till May 1st, and the cost of that is approximately $287,000. And I just want y'all to confirm that that amount is in the budget so we continue our fire protection for the city.
Yeah, so that's an estimate there. That's their estimate. My estimate was $176,000 or something. They're certainly in the ballpark, and that's in the budget. Yeah.
Anyone else from the public want to make a comment on the 2026 budget? Okay. That'll close the public testimony. And I'll also close the public hearing at 6:46 p.m. And the city will have its second budget hearing at our December 8th meeting. Now let's move to item 4E, which is a public hearing on the capital facilities plan. And I'll open that public hearing at 6:47 p.m. with a presentation from our city finance officer, Spencer Williams. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, this is our 6-year capital facility plan that we put together every year. And this is a plan that looks at not just the current needs of the city, but it's a tool that we use to look out over the next 6 years. What are some of the large purchases that are coming down the pike, and how can we make today's decisions with tomorrow's needs in mind? This is a plan that includes information from the transportation improvement plan, the capital improvement plans over water, sewer, the park element of the comprehensive plan. And so all of those pieces come together. Nothing in this plan is new to you as council. we've discussed everything that's in there. And also, when we go out to apply for grant money, one of the things that granting agencies often look at, not always, but often, they'll look to see is this project in our capital facility plan. So our capital facility plan isn't necessarily something looking at some of the projects. We have a lot of street projects in there, for example. Because the project is in that plan, that doesn't mean it's going to be funded, but it increases our ability to go for funding for that project. And that plan is as proposed.
Okay, I'll now open the public testimony portion of this public hearing for the capital facilities plan. Is there anyone or a member of the public who'd like to comment on the city's capital facilities plan? Hearing no comment, I'll move, I'll close this public hearing at 6:49 p.m. And now move to item 4F, which is ordinance to adopt the ad valorem property tax.
This is my last budget item for the night. This is something that we do every year. We have to pass an ordinance accepting the property tax dollars that are available to us through the county assessor's office. And to develop that dollar amount, I work closely with the assessor's office, and she gives us the estimates for what we can claim, and then we submit the ordinance to her with that full dollar amount. The attached ordinance is the vehicle that we use to send to the county that allows us to claim all of our property tax dollars for the city.
Good.
And then tonight it's a motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for fiscal year 26.
Any questions, City Council? We do this every year.
No. I'll make the motion to approve the ad valorem tax ordinance for fiscal year 2026.
Second. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'll go to item 4G, which is a public hearing on the subdivision code. And we have with us Ann Henning, our Community Development Director, to give a staff presentation.
Thank you. So this is a project the Planning Commission's been working on for about 6 years, not constantly, but it's a big project. And so if we take up something else, then we have to get back up to speed on a very large document. So it did take rather a while. The purpose was to streamline the code, remove the duplications and the conflicts, and just make it easier for everyone to use. And so as part of that, we restructured it from, right now there's a chapter on major plats, a chapter on binding site plans, a chapter on short plats. We restructured that to be a chapter on the preliminary for all of those, the final for all of those, because there's a lot of duplication. It's a very similar process. Another thing was we have Public Works design standards that talk about how you build the improvements, how to build a sidewalk, how to build, you know, sewer line, all of that stuff. We didn't need that in the subdivision code. And so there was a lot of duplication and conflicts there. So taking all of that out and have it just refer to the Public Works design standards. And then there was a chapter on reimbursement agreements that really seemed to make much sense of the way it was written. And so we are proposing to delete that one and adopt a new one that is much easier to understand. And then the last big change was to take the fees. Right now they're scattered throughout the code. You know, when you're reading the major plat section, preliminary plat, it says this is the fee. And then short plats, it says in the code, this is the fee. So I pulled out all of those and put them into one resolution so it can be all in one place. So the language in that resolution is almost what is in the code right now. There are a few places where it didn't currently state reimbursement, so I just added the reimbursement language into the resolution. And I think with that, I would see if there are any questions.
City Council? A lot of work done on this.
11 Planning Commission meetings plus the public hearing.
So I guess I just want to ask an obvious question. Does the City Council believe it is ready to make a decision tonight, or do you want to continue to review these changes and come back and decide at a later date?
I'm ready to do the decision tonight, only because I've attended the meetings and have been part of it. So mm-hmm. I think it was there was due diligence done with regard to this.
I was in one of the meetings and went through it also. Not through it all, but, you know, a lot of it. So I'm ready as well.
So 6 years of cleaning up this chapter to make it user-friendly is what your goal was. And
mm-hmm. It's about 20 pages of the existing code.
And our legal attorney has looked at it.
You did extensively.
Mm-hmm. All the various departments have looked at it and gave you a thumbs up saying we're ready to go live with this. Okay.
So in the agenda memo, Ann states, the intent of the rewrite was to resolve the conflicts, update to current processes, and simplify where possible, and make the code more user-friendly. That's good governance, that's good policy. So if you guys are ready to adopt this, these changes to our subdivision code, I'd entertain a motion.
We do need to hold a public hearing.
Yeah, don't we? Yeah, we're in the public hearing. So.
Sorry, I'm ready to move ahead. Okay, going a little fast. Is there any open, I'm gonna open the public testimony now. Any comments? Sorry. Myself. Chris, go ahead.
Yep. Chris Dorold, 850 East Hemlock, and chair of the Planning Commission. I just wanted to make myself available for any questions you all might have. I think it's well outlined by Ann already. We put, I hate to tell you how long a time we put into this, but there was a lot of redundancies, a lot of things that needed to be changed. We had to verify the legality of what we were trying to do to make things simpler, to make it easier, to move process forward, but also protect the public with the highest intent and to create great opportunities while still protecting the public. So that's the way we went through this process. We eliminated some redundancies that absolutely didn't make any sense. And I think we have a very good product in front of you. I also wanted to take the opportunity to thank Councilman Lawless and Councilman Garza for their input. It was important and critical at the time it came to really help us put it together. And every time you guys can help us out with that, we really appreciate it. So if you do have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Anyone else from the public want to comment on this change to our subdivision code? Okay. I'll close the public testimony portion and now ask the council if, and also close the public hearing at 6:57 p.m. And now I'll ask the council if you're ready to make a decision tonight.
Yes.
Do we have a motion?
I would make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-18.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We're sleeping. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Ann.
Do we have to?
It's another motion.
The resolution was for the fees. The ordinance is for the subdivision.
The ordinance, yeah, I think
another. So we need another. So a motion. I'll make the motion to adopt ordinance 1640, amending OMC Title 16 subdivisions.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move to item H, adopting ordinance 1641, amending OMC chapter 210 regarding the city administrator to revert to previously adopted language. Tonight, I understand that we have city attorney Hillary is on the call. Hillary, do you wanna? Head.
Can you hear me? Barely.
Is that from Aaron?
I have her all way louder than we normally do.
Can you, is there any possibility you can turn, can you hear us, Hillary?
I can hear you fine. Let me change my
headset. There. Now you came through.
Good.
Okay, do you want to walk the council through this agenda item?
Sure. I did not realize I was going to be doing that. Let me turn my camera on. Oh, I can't. It's been disabled by the host. All right, well, you can listen to me. This item, I believe, was proposed by council members to revert your municipal code regarding the city administrator position to language that existed prior to our current mayor's time, wherein we had a separate role for the city administrator and the mayor. So this ordinance effectively separates those two positions again, since we are going back into a world where there will probably be two different people doing that job.
Yeah, in essence, that's it. That was what the council requested.
Yep.
Any questions, City Council?
Has the language that was modified back in 2018 been reviewed to ensure that it still meets any legal muster? As in, do we need to change any language that was previously there to comply with any current case law or anything else?
It has, and the role of city administrator in a strong mayor city is not actually required by state law. It's something that's nice to have, and most cities do have, but is not required. So the edits that you make in this proposed ordinance, do you comply with the law? And certainly if you wanted to get more creative, you'd have the authority to do so as well.
That answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Are you ready to make a decision tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number 1641, amending Othello Municipal Code section 2.10.020, 2.10.030 and 2.10.040 to restore the prior language regarding the city administrator.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to our unfinished business. Council, do you have any unfinished business tonight?
I have a question. So when this DOT came in and put in the roundabout there on 26th and 1st Avenue, one of the things that was supposed to happen when that was done is Waluke and Columbia were supposed to revert back from one-way streets to two-way streets. And how do we go about getting that done? They need to revert back.
When they came in and briefed us, they said that the project is not complete, and that was one of the items that would be completed when they came back, and I'm thinking the spring or something like that, to finish the project.
Correct. When did they come brief us saying they weren't done?
I can't remember the last meeting before last that the DOT guy came. They were not done because of the workers that were striking. That caused a delay in the project, and the project's not complete.
They didn't come here.
I was here and watched him.
And I don't remember.
The project manager sent me an email, and I think, Robin, you got that email.
Mm-hmm. And I've also talked to them. The reason they did not do that is they didn't do it, the permanent striping on the roundabout yet. So the striping company is coming back in the spring when they can actually have the good weather. It took longer because of the strike. It took longer for them to get to the point where they were striping. So it's temporary striping on the roundabout currently, and they're going to come back and do the permanent striping when the weather is better and it will actually adhere the way it needs to. And that's when they're going to restripe Waluke and Columbia.
So
they'll take the current striping.
So we can't revert those streets back because there's only temporary striping there?
The striping on those streets is permanent striping currently.
Right.
But they didn't want to put temporary striping there and then come back and do
Oh, I see, okay.
So instead of doing that, when they come back to do the permanent striping on the roundabout, they're going to restripe those two roads.
Okay. Any other unfinished business? Is there any new business tonight?
Mayor, I don't know if this is in order or not, but I should have spoke up in the beginning. So every time they voice for us not to interview for the new position till the first of the year, I feel that we're ignoring them. So I'd like to hear from the council if we'd like to move that to January 1st, like that we all jump into the same vision at the same time with the new mayor. I feel we're ignoring them, so I'd like to hear from each and every one of you if we can move that from the 8th to the 1st of the year.
I'm for the 8th.
Okay. I'd like to visit with the candidates and see what we have.
So that means you want to interview the 8th then?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe that it is in the purview of the sitting council who hold office until December 31st at midnight. And I believe that we should do it on the 8th.
Okay.
We'd be remiss if we did not do our job, which is to fill the empty seats. There are citizens that are willing to step forward and sacrifice their time and effort, put themselves out there to be interviewed. We should be entertaining that because they want to serve the community.
Okay. Well, my opinion is, sorry,
how
Marco.
How about we get Mark?
Go ahead, Mark.
So I think we should do it the 8th also, but I mean, we're going to interview people. It doesn't matter, you know, who it is. We're going to pick the person that's going to do the best job for the city. Mm-hmm.
Well, my opinion, it doesn't matter because there's five against one, so I'm good.
It does
matter. I don't want to hear.
No, it does
I just didn't want to be ignoring them. They've been up here twice.
No, Angel, I think that was very good, what you just did. Very good.
I respect you guys, yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
That's very disrespectful. You two were voted out of office because of that. The rest of you, shame. Mr. Sporier.
You're interrupting the meeting.
I apologize.
So,
hey, we're going to interview people. That doesn't mean that we have to make a decision at that point in time.
We usually do, though. They usually sit in that same day.
Well, if that's the case, if somebody comes forward and interviews and is very good, in our opinion, very good as a candidate for us to select, we'll make that selection. But if we do not see somebody that is up to the task with the interviews that we conduct, we do not have to make a decision at that point in time.
I agree, but when you were voted to office 4 years ago, and Corey and Gina and myself, and you were voted for a 4-year term. Mm-hmm. So not a 3-year and 11-month term, but a 4-year term. You still have the right to make a decision, you have a right to decide that you want to wait.
I know that, Sean, and that's what I'm saying, is that we have the right to hear these people that come forward. Mm-hmm. But if I don't feel that there's any one individual that would fit the position and you know, I could trust to make good decision for the city, I'm not going to vote for somebody.
I kind of was against you a little bit just because having them wait from the 8th, but now I understand. So if there's two or three that run and we don't like either one, and then we can move on.
Well, so we got the 8th and we got another meeting after the 8th, and then, you know, we can see where we go from there.
We were elected to serve the public. To not take action is not serving the public. We have a duty to allow the citizens to come up, be interviewed for the open seat, not belay that because some individuals want to ensure that they perceive their voices won't be heard, which is not true.
Well, look, any individual that they may want to serve can come in front of us and interview.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%.
So.
Well, I think we're there. I mean, we decided the 8th. So I just thought, I felt we've been ignoring them the last two meetings. So
what you did was
It's out already. Let's get it done.
What you did was fine, Angel. That was good. There was an issue, and it got addressed. So that was fine. I agree with you 100%. But just because five individuals come up here to interview doesn't mean that if I don't feel that any one of them are qualified to sit in that position, and I wouldn't vote for them if they were running for office, then I'm not going to select them. But I'm only one individual on a council of six people right now.
Correct. In other new business, I got a phone call last week from Senator Patty Murray. She wanted to let the city know that we received a congressionally directed spending appropriation in the amount of $1.375 million for the city fire station updates.
Awesome.
And with no further business to come before the council, I'll conclude tonight's meeting at 7:10 p.m.
You didn't have something else, Corey? You didn't have something else?
Huh? What the hell? You're throwing things away. Yeah.